Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about Packers mini camp. We're in the midst of mini camp as we speak. First practice took place yesterday on Monday. On Tuesday. Getting my days mixed up here. Still have another day of practice today at Clark Hinkle Field in Green Bay. Or is Clark Hinkle Field technically in Ashwaubenon? It might be. I know Lambeau Field's in Green Bay. It's amazing. Go look at a map of Green Bay sometime in like the boundaries. You can see that they drew the boundaries of Green Bay right around Lambeau Field to make sure it was in the city of Green Bay, because it borders Ashwaubenon right there, and it is kind of interesting if you ever look at a map of Green Bay sometime, if you have any interest in doing that. But anyway, thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking about Packers minicamp. I think the topics du jour today will be that of Johnny Jolly and Sam Shields. So, they practiced for the first time yesterday, and we're going to get into breaking them down. If anybody was wondering, just in case you were, practice takes place again at 11:30 a.m. today at Clark Hinkle Field. It is scheduled to be open to the public, but the weather forecast is not exactly promising. From what I looked up at weather.com, it looks like the temperature forecast is a high of 60 degrees today, along with a precipitation chance of about 50%. So, you know, based upon recent history, the past two practices, including yesterday's, have been closed to the public after scheduled to be open to the public. They just, you know, it's crappy weather. They move indoors. They move inside the Don Hutson Center. I'm sorry for those of you who have actually tried to go out to practice and have been turned away. I know how disappointing that can be and that can get. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll get lucky today. And the rain will hold off, or things will get better. The skies will clear, but we'll see. I'm not exactly optimistic that that will be the case, just based upon recent history. But regardless, they do let the media stick around, even when they push practice indoors inside the Don Hutson Center. So you're still able to at least get the reports. You hear what's going on from the beat writers, especially if you follow along with Twitter, but later on their online reports, and also published in print form in the newspaper. But anyway, you know, let's talk about what happened yesterday, and more so anything that happened, you know, specifically on the field. I mean, these things happened on the field. We saw the returns of Johnny Jolly and Sam Shields. And, you know, for Johnny Jolly, it marked the first time he was able to practice in over 3 years after being suspended by the NFL and later arrested three separate times for drug-related offenses. I'm not sure what each specific offense was about. I mean, they might all have had to do with possession of some narcotic like codeine, but I know there were some other allegations that Johnny Jolly had to endure as well. And I think there were even at one time allegations of intent to distribute, but he may have taken a plea deal or a bargain, and those things may have gone away, the allegations at least. But regardless, that's now in the past. This is, we are talking years ago now. The The last time he ever got in trouble, I believe, was 2011. And, you know, has basically stayed clean ever since late 2011. So we're talking, you know, over a year and a half. He's been basically out of trouble, been, you know, been part of a drug rehabilitation program, has been reinstated by the NFL. And you know, finally, after a couple, a lot of hemming and hawing, not by fans, more or less, wondering, you know, when is he going to practice? Is it, you know, he's been waiting here during OTAs for Johnny Jolly to make an appearance. Finally got back to it yesterday in Green Bay. Johnny Jolly makes his debut on the practice field. And, you know, the simple fact that he made his debut is the story. You know, that the simple fact that he's back. Don't expect too much today from Johnny Jolly. In fact, don't be that guy. I sit here and I'm looking at yesterday's post from Cheesehead TV, our quick takes from day one of Packers minicamp. And I'm looking at the comments section, and here is that guy. Here is a direct comment from our comment section at Cheesehead TV, made yesterday from commenter Morgan Mundane. He writes, quote, "What's with some of these guys? Jolly showed up, and that's great, but the picture I saw was a very large, out of shape person. Wouldn't part of his treatment preparing him to play be getting in football shape, coming to town ready to impress somebody? Forget about it." End quote. I'm doing a face palm right now. And in fact, I can put the video on here at Cheesehead TV. Here's my face palm reading this comment. I just sit here and be like, don't be that guy. I can't, as the saying goes. You know, don't expect Johnny Jolly to show up day one of mini camp after coming out of a drug rehabilitation program, after being suspended for 3 years, after being on probation, and expect him to set the world on fire on day one of mini camp. Yeah, he's out of shape probably a little bit. In fact, I think I even saw a tweet, if I'm correct, it was from Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette, if you want to run through his Twitter feed, saying Johnny Jolly is about 10 pounds above his playing weight right now. Would it have been nice had he showed up in shape, you know, just buff and ready to blow the world away? Yeah, but I mean, come on. He's been away from the game for 3 years. He's been on probation. I don't even know how much access he had to facilities that he can actually get in shape in. And even if he did have access, he certainly didn't have access to the Green Bay Packers' state-of-the-art weight room and access to trainers and guys who can help him out and things like that. I mean, let's get real here. Let's get real. Again, the story yesterday was simply his return. That's step one. Baby steps here. You know, we only got 2 weeks of practice left this week and next week. And it's simply about him now, you know, making progress every day, taking a step. You know, he's back, he's part of the 90-man roster. As Mike McCarthy would say, that's the goal right now, just being part of the 90-man roster right now. Not the 53, the 90. You know, there's no guarantees with Johnny Jolly either. He's not guaranteed of a roster spot this season, but he's getting a chance. And that's all Johnny Jolly can ask. And that's great. I mean, you know, I'm rooting for the guy. I hope it works out. But, you know, if it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I'm not expecting him to make the roster. In fact, all things being equal, you know, if it's pretty much he plays the same as rookie Josh Boyd, and a tough decision is going to come down between keeping either Josh, sixth round draft choice Josh Boyd, or Johnny Jolly, I'm in favor of keeping the young guy, the rookie Josh Boyd, who's going to be under contract for the next four seasons, as opposed to 30-year-old Johnny Jolly, who's playing under a one-year deal and has baggage, you know, behind him. So, you know, Johnny Jolly has long odds to make the Packers roster. You know, and I hope if he plays lights out, great. That's fantastic. But, you know, don't expect it right now. You know, start analyzing his play once he comes back. You know, once training camp starts, then you can start to form an opinion on, you know, what he looks like and the contribution he may or may not make this season. You know, don't draw conclusions right now. It's better just to save your opinions other than the opinion to say it's great that he's back. You know, don't say he's out of well, you can say he's out of shape, but don't, you know, criticize him for it. My goodness. I mean, he took the first step yesterday. He's here. He's in town. He's in Green Bay. He's practicing. He's getting back into the swing of things. He's interacting with his teammates. He is a productive member of society once again. At least he is during his working hours. We can only hope he is away from the football field. But, you know, it's I think maybe Johnny Jolly saw the light. You know, he sat out for 3 years, and he probably, if he doesn't have football, you know, I wouldn't say there's maybe a whole lot of opportunities for Johnny Jolly, perhaps elsewhere. You know, wouldn't it be great if Johnny Jolly, I'm sure he's probably lost most of his life savings, you know, from his first few years in the NFL on simply legal representation. I'm sure he doesn't have a whole lot of money right now, so he really needs it bad. You know, I hesitate to even say this because this is far in the future, and it's not even really fair to Johnny Jolly, but wouldn't a great story be if he gets cut, but the Packers hire him back to be an equipment manager, you know, even a janitor at Lambeau Field, just to give Johnny Jolly a second chance, just to give him a steady job and a steady paycheck. You know, wouldn't that be a great story? You know, an even better story would be, as John suggests on the live blog, I'd love it if Johnny Jolly could come back and become the comeback player of the year. Yeah, maybe I should be hoping for that. Maybe that would be the better storyline yet. He actually does something on the football field and not only, you know, comes back, but does it well. So we'll hope for that. I'll put off the janitor storylines for some other day. But anyhow, yeah. So Johnny Jolly back. I think we talked about that storyline, and now it's time to talk about the other guy that made a comeback yesterday. Not a comeback, but he made his debut at practice this offseason. Cornerback Sam Shields, the restricted free agent, formerly restricted, he signed his one-year tender on Monday. And, he missed phase one of the offseason program, which was simply strength and conditioning. He missed phase two of the program, which were individual position workouts where the cornerbacks work together. He missed the first 2 weeks of phase three of the offseason program, which were, you know, the first 2 weeks of OTAs and team-related practice. And finally, with 2 weeks left of the offseason program, Sam Shields is back. He is now practicing once again. He signed his, you know, tender, you know, right before, on the eve of minicamp, Sam Shields signed his tender. And he's back and practicing, and it's a good thing. You know, he missed too much this offseason, I'd say. For a guy who's still pretty young, I mean, Sam Shields is now a veteran. He's now entering his fourth year in the NFL. But, you know, ask me, he missed too much of the offseason program this year. You know, he's letting guys like Casey Hayward, or he let guys like Casey Hayward get a leg up on him this offseason. You know, he let Casey Hayward get all those practice reps. He let Casey Hayward practice with the starters for the first, you know, however many weeks of the offseason program here. You know, Tremont Williams, Casey Hayward been working with the starters. You know, even rookie, the kid out of Iowa there, Micah Hyde, you know, getting a lot of reps in practice, more than Sam Shields was getting. But, you know, Sam Shields is back now, and he's joining the fray. He's joining the competition, and he's going to find a lot of competition ahead of him. But, you know, at least he's back. He's got 2 weeks to work. He's got this week's mini camp, and then next week's, you know, final and third week of OTAs. And so at least he'll be a part of that if he chooses to participate. Because, I mean, OTAs are technically voluntary. Although I would assume Sam Shields would be sticking around, seeing as he just signed his contract. So, going back to Johnny Jolly here slightly, because both Jolly and Shields were kind of in the same boat yesterday. They were on a limited practice plan because it was their first day back for both of them. They both took part in practice yesterday, but they were held out of a lot of things, kind of just easing them back, letting them watch, getting the mental repetitions. You know, they don't want to overexert them, overextend them on their first day back. They did practice a little. They would, you know, work them in, rotate them in here and there. But as far as, you know, taking full part in practice, it didn't happen with them yesterday. And, you know, it's probably be the same today. They'll probably take part partially. And who knows, maybe by next week they will be taking part in a little more and a little more every day. Or I'm not sure, you know, how often they take a step up, or it's every week they take a step. They practice a little bit more. But, you know, they're both back. And Sam Shields joining a big-time competition at the cornerback position, arguably the deepest position on the team. And Eric Young Smith on the live blog says, "I never understood the holdout with Shields." And yeah, I think Sam Shields' expectations perhaps were a little unrealistic, and he even said, "I was hoping for a long-term deal. It didn't work out." He said that during his interview yesterday with the media. Didn't work out. And, you know, I could see him, you know, I don't want to call it a quote-unquote holdout, because he wasn't under contract, you know, so it's not technically a holdout. But, it was tantamount to a holdout. He was, you know, hoping for a better contract. And, you know, it all depends upon what he wanted. You know, we don't know the negotiations that took place between the Packers and Sam Shields. I mean, certainly I can understand Sam Shields wanting a long-term contract. I can understand the Packers wanting him long-term. It's just a matter of money, you know. If Sam Shields would have accepted a 5-year deal for the league's NFL minimum, the Packers would have probably signed him to it in a second. But I'm sure Sam Shields hoped for much, much, much more money than the league's minimum. But, you know, it is kind of a thing. You know, how long of a contract did Sam Shields want? You know, I've kind of got this idea in my mind that it would make sense if Sam Shields, and this could still happen, that he'll sign a 2 or 3 year deal and still have the opportunity to hit free agency once again while he's still young, so he can still hit another decent payday in a couple years. But, it, you know, he... On the flip side of the coin, Sam Shields could just play under his 1 year tender, hit unrestricted free agency next year, and be like, you know, and possibly strike it rich. You know, he's got Drew Rosenhaus for an agent, and the scary thing here is, you know, let's just pretend Sam Shields has a great year this year. Well, next year you could easily see him going out in unrestricted free agency, and you know, just shopping his services to the highest bidder. You know, I can see that happening with Sam Shields. You know, I could see him not being part of the Packers in 2014 just simply because his asking price will be so high. And I can see somebody out there paying it because he's a good young player. He's fast, and you can't teach speed, as they say. And so he's really got that going in his favor. And I think teams out there, or at least one team out there, will be willing to pay for that and pay a good penny for it. Pay him offer him a fairly decent contract because of his potential, because of his speed, because he's an up and coming player. So we're not throwing anything out of the window yet. He could still, for all we know, sign a multi-year deal before the start of training camp. I don't know if that's, you know, a big time possibility, but maybe at some point mid-year. You know, he could sign a contract extension. The Packers have something like over $10 million in salary cap space this season now after extending Rodgers and Matthews and cutting so many, you know, making so much room this offseason, you know, by getting rid of Charles Woodson's deal and Jeff Saturday's and reducing the contract of A.J. Hawk, all those things they did to, you know, make room. Still a lot of salary cap space left for the Packers. But I mean, you know, it's not a big deal because in the NFL, it's not like they have to use up that salary cap space this year. What you can do in the NFL now, it's as of the last collective bargaining agreement, is carry over salary cap space from 1 year to the other. So the Packers have $10+ million in salary cap space right now. Well, they can just carry it over to next year. So, you know, it doesn't really matter if they, you know, get a player under contract this year or next year. They're still going to have that same amount of money. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see one player get a contract extension, you know, before the 2013 season is over. I could see him signing to a contract extension, you know, before the start of training camp or maybe mid-year. That's typically the time when you'll see contract extensions being done, like right before the start of training camp. So you're talking mid to late July. Some of them get done. The players want them to get done so they're not a distraction once training camp starts. Or then at mid-year. They'll have a bye week during, you know, the middle of the year, and that'll, you know, that's frequently a good time. They got a week off where they can concentrate. Okay, let's do a little negotiation this week, get that passed. And you know, the Packers might just be looking for a player, you know, the first part of the season that plays really well and be like, okay, this guy's a player. You know, we'll give that guy a contract extension. They're staying healthy. They're playing well. That's a good candidate. And there's no shortage of candidates who could use a contract extension ASAP. I mean, look at all the guys who are, you know, scheduled to become free agents next year. All these guys that are entering contract seasons this year who need to have a big year. You know, we're talking Sam Shields. We're talking B.J. Raji. We're talking Morgan Burnett. James Jones, JerMichael Finley, Evan Dietrich Smith, and that's just the highest profile guys. You know, that's just some of the starters who are you know, scheduled to become free agents. That isn't everyone. There's a few more. Ryan Pickett, I think John Kuhn, you know, all these guys, you know, entering contract seasons, and you know, they're. That's a lot of money going to be doled out to, you know, several of them will receive contract extensions, but not all of them will. You know, there's going to be one or two guys who leave, you know, a year from now. And I think JerMichael Finley is among the top candidates among those who may leave the team. But regardless, that's in the future. But, you know, it's the important part now, though, is the contract season. All these guys need to have big years in 2013 in order to get that payday. So they need to play well, you know, and that, you know, that's good for the Packers. That's motivation for them to be a good team this year, to play well. You know, if the players are playing well, the team's going to do well, obviously. John says on the live blog, Shields needs to prove himself more, needs to be more consistent. Yeah, I think so. You know, he's done well. He had a very good rookie season, had a good 2012, had a down 2011. You know, I Sam Shields does need to be more consistent. But I think last year when Sam Shields was healthy in 2012, he had a couple minor injury issues he fought through last year. But when Sam Shields was healthy in 2012, he was really good, you know, and he had a good all-around game. He, you know, obviously is very good as a cover corner because of his speed, but also, you know, started to show a toughness last year, a willingness to tackle that he didn't show earlier in his career. So he's becoming more complete, becoming more consistent. Can he still do better? Most doubt about it. You know, no doubt about it. So you know, that's where Sam Shields is right now. But you know, it's good. He's back in the fold. He signed his tender. He's under a 1 year contract at least. Maybe more at some other point. Maybe we'll still, you know, sign a multi year deal at some point in the future. But as for the time being, you know, he's in the fold and he's back and he's practicing, and that's all, you know, positive and good. So, you know, good for Sam Shields to get back and practicing and joining the competition taking place. And by the way, one guy who's not been part of the competition this offseason has been Devon House. Has not taken part, you know, as of right now, Sam Shields has practiced more than Devon House has this year. You know, a little bit disappointing there. You know, Devon House is coming back from shoulder surgery this offseason. So, you know, he's got a reason. You know, it's not like he's holding out. You know, he's coming back from an injury. But, you know, you wish he'd be able to come back. You know, I wrote in a post a couple days ago, for all we know is that Devon House, his shoulder came out of joint. He didn't have any broken bones, didn't have any torn ligaments that have been reported. And again, it can only go upon what's been made public here. Maybe there's more than meets the eye. But for a guy whose shoulder just came out of joint, why isn't he practicing? You know, why is he not taking part in non-contact practices? Is there really... you know, it just makes you think that maybe there is more than meets the eye here with the injury to Devon House. I don't quite understand that. Practices are, you know, technically non-contact, no tackling. And, you know, there is contact, you know. Guys can touch each other. They can shove each other. They just can't, you know, make full-out tackles and things like that. So, you know. But a little bit worried there about Devon House to an extent. And he's part of that competition that Sam Shields will be joining too. But, you know, it's 9 o'clock. That's going to do it here for a Monday morning edition, or pardon me, Wednesday morning edition of Railbird Central. We'll be back once again on Friday. Thanks for joining us, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you Friday morning at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. For another edition of Railbird Central. I leave you today with a song called The Place That I Call Home by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go Pack.